All right, brethren, we're going to go back to John 13. In the first hour, we heard our Redeemer command us, and he said, "As I have loved you, you love one another." Now let's see an example of how our Savior loves his own. We'll just look at this example of his dealing with the Apostle Peter. It begins in verse 33, and he said, "Little children, do you think the apostles were offended that he called them little children?" You think that offended them? And you think who this was he's calling little children? These are some old, rough, salty fishermen. One of them was a proud publican. James and John were the sons of thunder, Scripture says. And our Lord called them little children. That's a blessing. You know why? He's our everlasting Father. He's the last Adam. He'll never stop being the everlasting Father of his people. And he's God, our Father, one with the Father. And he says, little children, we're his by purchase, by birth. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, the Lord was going to the cross. He was going to the cross. And he's going to the grave. And then he was going to ascend to the Father. And his apostles could not go because Christ must accomplish this work by himself. We read there, Psalm 22, there's none to help. He had to do this work all by himself, and he did it all by himself. And think on this. Yes, Peter would suffer tribulation, and the other disciples would, and we will suffer tribulation. We will die, our bodies will die, and we will go in the grave. But our substitute said, whither I go, right now, you cannot come. And because he suffered the cross of divine justice for his people by himself, tread the winepress alone of the people, there was none to help him. And because he went there, you and I cannot go there. His people that he died for cannot go there. You can't go under the justice of God because he bore that for his people. Yes, we'll go with him. We'll go through the grave and we'll ascend and we'll be with him. But that's one place we can't go. We can't go under the wrath and fury of God's justice. He bore that. He satisfied that. Now, as the Lord commanded his disciples to love one another, that was his next word. And as he said that to them, Peter is hung up. Peter hung up on this word, whither I go, you cannot come. That's all he heard. He didn't hear anything about the loving part. That's all he heard. Whither I go, you cannot come. As soon as our Lord paused, verse 36, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now. Thou shalt follow me afterwards. Our Lord's going to say later, Peter, when you're young, you girded yourself and you walked about wherever you would. But when you're older, another's going to gird you and they're going to carry you where you wouldn't go. He's going to die for Christ. He's going to die. He's going to be killed for Christ's sake. And so he would, and he would ascend to the Father as well. But verse 37, Peter said to him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Our subject is one need of a troubled heart. Did you catch it? When we read this, did you catch the one need of a troubled heart? Peter's heart was troubled, and so were the other disciples. And our Lord said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Here's the one need of the troubled heart. You believe in God, believe also in me. That's the one need. The one need of a troubled heart is to believe on Christ. That tells us the underlying cause of the troubled heart is unbelief. It's unbelief. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. What love of our Redeemer. What love of our Redeemer for a poor, unbelieving believer like me. Like Peter. Just unbelieving. Peter said to him, "Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake." And in that right there, we see why Peter could not follow the Lord Jesus right then. Peter had too much confidence in his will. He said, "I will lay down my life for thee." It's a lot of confidence in self right there. I don't doubt Peter a bit. We don't doubt him a bit. He would lay down his life for Savior. And you know, at Pentecost, Peter stood up before the very ones that had crucified the Lord Jesus Christ, and Peter preached boldly the gospel of Christ and him crucified. He stood up there before a great multitude and preached the gospel boldly. He would do so the rest of his life and be killed for doing so. But in John 13:38, Jesus answered him, "Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me three times." Peter didn't believe the Lord's word. He refuted it. He insisted he would not deny the Lord. But later, we're going to see Peter standing at a fire, a little ways off from where the Lord was. And there's a little maid there and a few people there. Not a very big crowd at all. And they're going to say, "Weren't you with him?" Peter's going to say, "I don't know him." "Now, I'm pretty sure we saw you with him." "Blankety blank, I don't know him." When that fisherman came out in him and he went to cussing, "I don't know the man." And the rooster crowed. Rooster crow. It's hard to believe that's the same man who stood up at Pentecost and declared this. He stood up at Pentecost and before thousands of people and said, "Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ." Is that the same man? Yes and no. Yes and no. Why did Peter have to suffer denying the Lord? He learned it was the Spirit of our Lord who made the difference. Peter declared that at Pentecost. He said at Pentecost, "Christ being by the right hand of God exalted and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which you now see and hear." He did this. That wasn't what Peter was saying when he was standing there with the Lord that night. He was saying, "I will, Lord. I will." The Lord had to first let Peter experience his own weakness so that he might know by experience that his only strength was Christ. His only strength was Christ. This will make Peter love his brethren when they deny the Lord because he's experienced Christ's love and grace in restoring him when he denied the Lord. What made it so Peter's faith didn't fail? I said it to you in the first hour. The Lord said, "I've prayed for you that your faith fail not." That's why it didn't. And here's what that is. That's Christ representing Peter before God interceding for him so that God only looked at the perfect faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ and never regarded Peter denying him. That's how his faith didn't fail. Christ's faithfulness. And Christ came to him and restored faith in his heart. And we are only going to behold that Christ is our strength in the face of our total weakness. That's the only way we're going to see that. While we got some strength, we're not dependent on Christ. When we don't have any, when you got nothing else, that's when you see he's your only strength. And you still believe him, you still love your brethren, and you hadn't fallen away. That's when you know there's only one reason. Christ alone. Christ alone. He said unto me, Paul said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. You're going to know God's strength, Christ's strength, in weakness. In weakness. How little we really know of ourselves. You realize that? We know very little of ourselves. Matthew Henry said, the most secure are commonly the least safe, and those most shamefully betray their own weakness that most confidently presume upon their own strength. Don't glory in what you will or will not do. Don't glory in it. Don't boast of what you will or will not do. Mm-mm. Always seek strength from the living Lord, and let this be our word. If the Lord wills, we will do this or that. If the Lord wills, we will do this or that. Our sufficiency is of God. It is not of us. Listen to this. From Christ, the whole body is fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, by Christ, from him. That's how you got in the body. That's how you were joined to the body. If you compacted in this body, that's how you were compacted in the body, from Christ. Well, but he said every joint supplies what every joint needs. How does that happen? According to Christ effectually working in every member, in measure, in every part. He doesn't give everybody a full load of grace and a full measure of grace. He doesn't. Why? Because, but the measure he's given to each member makes the body perfect, providing what every other member doesn't provide. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. That makes you need each other. That makes you depend on each other because you depend on Christ. You depend on Christ. And it makes you see he's the only one working it. He's the only one producing this unity and this provision you need. The only one. Now here's the need. Here's the need. The need of our troubled heart is to believe in our Lord Jesus. He said, believe in me. He said, if you believe in God, you do. He said, you believe in God. He said, believe also in me. Believe in the Lord Jesus that he will keep you, child of God. Do you depend on him to keep you? Do you? You know what keeping yourself involves, don't you? Trusting him to keep you. Trusting him to keep you. We see it right here. Our Lord was greatly troubled at this time. He had said that before. Now is my soul troubled. He's troubled. He's greatly troubled. Think of what he's facing. And he knows. He knows that in just a little bit, his soul's going to be exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. He knows in just a little while, he's going to sweat drops of blood. He's going to be arrested, and he's going to go to the cross, and he's going to be nailed to the cursed tree and bear the wrath of God. He knows this. He's facing this in a very short time. He's troubled. But here's our Lord's love. He believed his Father. How could he do this? How could he set his trouble aside and put his trouble behind him and comfort his troubled disciples? How could he do that? Where did he get the strength to do that? He believed God the Father. He said there, the works I do, the Father does them. He gave him the glory, just like his people are going to give Christ the glory. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. That, what a Savior. Facing all that he's facing, and this is his concern, let not your heart be troubled. He knows your heart when it's troubled, believer. He does. He knew their hearts were troubled. He knew it. And he knows your heart's troubled. And he's the one who can speak to you effectually and say, let not your heart be troubled. When will your heart stop being troubled? When he speaks and says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. That's when the trouble is over. Now, all around you, the sea could be raging. But the trouble is over when you believe him and know he's got you. He's carrying you and all your brethren. This is our Savior who tells his people, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, she's received of the Lord's hand double for all her sin. Is that not what Christ said to comfort them? It's exactly what he's telling them, to comfort them. Believe in our Lord Jesus Christ because he's faithful to each of his own. He said, Peter said, Lord, I will lay down my life for you. That's what Peter said. And the Lord said, Peter, you will deny me three times before the rooster crows. Our Lord knew that. He knew that. I said to you before, Judas Iscariot denied the Lord. He went out and betrayed him and sold him for 30 pieces of silver. Korah opposed the Lord when he opposed Moses. What's the difference in their end and Peter's end? Here's the difference. The Lord told Peter by whose will Peter would be saved and kept. He said in verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Peter said, Lord, I will lay down my life for you. Lord said, Peter, you will deny me, but I will save you. That's the will by which we're going to be saved. And that's how the Lord's going to affect this faith in our heart and keep us trusting him and believing him and settle our troubled heart is to hear him say, I will save you. Christ went to that cross to prepare a place for each elect child that the Father gave to him before the world was made, and he prepared it. He prepared it. He fulfilled Daniel's prophecy. He finished the transgression. He finished the transgression. Don't you like the way that's worded? He finished the transgression. He made an end of sins. You see your sins, don't you? God doesn't. The only way God beholds our sin is just in the sense that he's going to keep you, turn from them back to Christ, to trust Christ, to save you from you. But in Christ, Christ made an end of sins. In him is no sin. That means everybody that's in him, he made an end of sins. You don't have any before God. Don't have any before God. He made reconciliation for iniquity. You know, people say make your peace with God. It's not God that needed to be reconciled to us. We need to be reconciled to God. And he reconciled us to God. He brought in everlasting righteousness. Everlasting righteousness. He sealed up the vision and the prophecy, fulfilled all the law and the prophets. He anointed the most holy, and he did it for each and every one of his brethren. He accomplished it. That's what he's saying to Peter. Peter, I go to prepare a place for you. I'm laying down my life for you, Peter. You're not laying down your life for me. Believe him. He promised Peter and he promises all his disciples, I will come again and receive you to myself. I will come again and receive you to myself. Peter denied the Lord. He left. He went fishing. He's done. Left there, Peter would have never preached the gospel again. He'd have never written his epistle. He'd have never done one other. That's you and me if God takes his hand off you and leaves it to your will. There's Peter's will. There's your will. He left, and he wouldn't have come back. But our Lord, when he arose, he sent word. Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified, he's risen. Go your way, tell his disciples, and tell Peter. Tell Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. He knows where you're going, and he's going before you. And there shall you see him as he said unto you. He said he would. He said, I'm going to come again and receive you to myself. He said, you're going to see him there. And he came personally and he restored Peter. You know what Peter was saying after that happened? I know what Peter was saying. He's saying the same thing Jeremiah was saying. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. His compassions fail not. Our Savior's not going to send for you, believer. He's not going to send for you. He's coming himself. He said, I will come again for you. And brethren, that's what he said later. He said that those that he works in their heart and you obey him, he said, I will come to you. I and my Father will come to you and make our abode with you. And he promised this, the Lord himself shall come. He shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. He said, I'm coming again. He didn't say, I'm sending somebody else. He said, I'm coming. He went personally and restored Peter. That's what he's doing for his people right now. To receive you unto myself, he said. Think of that. To receive you to myself. The one you just denied, the one that you left and turned your back on. I'm going to come and receive you to myself, he said. That where I am, there you may be also. To that dying thief, he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Today. He said, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. He said, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Brethren, Christ's word here, that we see him speaking to Peter, we see what he's worked for Peter. This is our assurance. This is our assurance. He will keep his people, and he will restore his people, just like he will come again and bring us to himself. He does it now. He's going to keep doing it, and he's going to do it in the end. We're looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, even right now, in every time of need. Every time of need. It's Christ who comes in spirit to strengthen us and to renew us and restore us, just like he did the Apostle Peter. So we got renewed assurance. Every time he does it, you have this assurance in your heart, and you just know beyond a shadow of a doubt. And you start singing, he's coming again, he's coming again. The very same Jesus rejected of men with power and great glory, he's coming again. You know it. It's a token. It's a foretaste of him coming in the last day. Every time he comes and renews you and restores you and brings you back to himself. Now, at the heart of all our trouble is unbelief. It's all at the heart of all our trouble. Christ said, you believe in God, believe also in me. Now, what is it to believe in Christ? What is it to believe in him? Well, it's to believe him as he's revealed in this word and as he's revealed in our hearts. It takes God revealing Christ to us for us to believe him. It's by divine revelation. And our Lord reveals himself in our hearts. And when he reveals himself, he declares what he declared right here. He said, in my house are many mansions. There's many mansions, many dwelling places. A dwelling place made especially for each and every chosen child of God. A dwelling place. Got your name on it, child of God. Because Christ went to the cross. Christ ascended to the Father, and he's ever living to make intercession for his people, keeping us, because he has prepared this dwelling place for each and every one of his people. And there's not going to be a vacancy in one of those dwellings. He's bringing all his people to himself. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's his word. So we can have some assurance, Paul said, and we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle was dissolved, we have a house that's eternal in the heavens, not made with hands, made by our Lord Jesus Christ. That's our confidence. If believe in Christ as he revealed in his word, believe in what he says. It's to believe he'll supply all my need. That's what he said. I'm preparing things for you. And it's to believe he shall provide all my need. Christ is my advocate with the Father. What does that mean? It means he's speaking to God for me. That's what he's doing for you, child of God. He's advocating for you with the Father. You see some trial on TV, and sometimes the attorneys, you think, where'd they get that attorney? Must have been on sale. Not a very good advocate. You got the best advocate there's ever been. This is Christ advocating for his children before the Father. That's the only reason we're not consumed. When I see my sin, I look to Christ, my atonement. That's right. When I see my unbelief and my weakness, I look to Christ, my strength. When I'm looking at the grave and I know I'm going to that grave, I'm looking to Christ, my life. When I think about the resurrection and think, I can't bring myself out of that grave, I can't give myself life, I look to Christ, my resurrection. When I think, how on earth could God receive me because of who I am and what I am in myself, I look to Christ, my justifier. My righteousness. That's the only way. We sang it this morning. There's only one holy. That's him. And his people, he's made holy in him. Righteous in him. When I think of eternity, I look to Christ, my hope. Listen, my hope is built on nothing less. How about yours? Nothing less. Nothing else. Nothing else. Than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, no matter how sweet they are. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name entirely. And so knowing Christ laid down his life for you, child of God, you know this, whatever you need in this wilderness right now, he'll provide it. He's your full provision. He shall provide. Paul said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know where he wrote that from? Prison. Prison. You know what that was? It was God supplying just what he needed. That's exactly what it was. To believe on Christ is to really and truly cast all your care on him. Believing. You don't cast your care on anybody unless you believe in them. If you don't believe in somebody, I wouldn't sit and listen to them. If you suspect them, I wouldn't listen to them in a minute. I'd go somewhere I could hear the gospel. But if you believe on Christ, it's going to be because you believe he cares for you. He cares for you. Child of God, he cares for you. He careth for you. That means he don't ever stop caring for you. And to believe him is to cast it all into his hand. If I'm still trying to make something happen, I'm not trusting him. If I'm still depending on my works, I'm not trusting him. If I'm saying, Lord, I'll lay down my life, I'm not trusting him. It's to put it all into his hand. Not some of you care, all you care. Not some of the time, all the time. For he careth for you. Paul said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Why? He careth for you. It's the only reason. We're perplexed, but not despair. Why? He careth for you. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Why? He careth for you. Cast down, but not destroyed. Why? He careth for you. Peter wrote what he learned. Peter wrote what he learned. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for the Lord and what he did with the Apostle Peter. Peter wrote what he learned. I remember one time going through what was up until that time, the worst trial I'd ever been through. And Brother Don came and preached for us, and he preached from this verse right here. And oh, man, the Lord comforted us so much. This was the message he preached right here. This is what Peter learned. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. That's the end of trouble. You won't have any more trouble. When you know you and all your troubles are in his hand, and he's carrying you and all your troubles, you won't have troubles anymore. To believe on Christ is to continue to the end believing in him. Continue to the end. When the multitude walked away, our Lord didn't chase after them. He didn't go kowtowing to them. He turned around to his apostles and he said, will you go away also? How could he say something like that? Because he's the power by which they answered him. And how'd they answer? He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You've taken away all our choices. We used to have a lot of choices. I can go worship over here. I can go worship over there. I can worship over there. I can sit under that one, this one, the other one, or not. I can go to the ball game on Sunday. The Lord took all your choices away from you. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and we're sure thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. Once you believe like that, you'll believe like that all the time. No, you won't. Peter's sitting here now after that saying, Lord, I will not deny you. I will lay down my life for you. And in a little while, he completely denied knowing him. But here's the promise. He careth for you. How are you going to persevere to the end? Because you're preserved to the end. That's how. And he will not let you go. He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He said it like this in another place. I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. He said it like this in another place. Because I live, you shall live also. Today, tomorrow, the next day, all the way to eternity. Because Christ lives, you shall live also. We're made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. I don't have a doubt God's people are going to persevere to the end. No, I don't have a doubt they're going to love each other. I don't have a doubt they're going to believe Christ all the way to the end. But I know this. If that word right there depended entirely upon you and me, we would have a great reason to fear. But that word is sure because of what we see Christ work with Peter. He is not going to let you fall away. He is not going to let, he's caring for you. He's going to keep us believing on him until the end. Now, brethren, believing Christ is the cure to the heart trouble. Remember what the Lord told Martha? You are troubled about many things. There's one thing needful. Believe on the Lord Jesus. Cast it all into his hand. And Peter wrote this later. He learned this. He wrote this later. He said, whom having not seen, you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, what comes next? You rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's the difference between him not believing and his heart being troubled and him saying, believing, your heart's full of joy. You know everything's fine. Everything's fine. Next time you become fearful and anxious and you just aggravated and you're down and you're in the doldrums, you know. Next time you're in that place. Next time your brother, sister's down, remind one another of this. Repeat these words to yourself and repeat these words to one another. Our Lord said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Just repeat that. When next time you're down, just remember what he said. My Lord told me, let not my heart be troubled. Believe on him. And you'll have rejoicing. You'll have rejoicing. Amen.